The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Good morning. Praise God. Is everyone having a good summer? Huh? Praise God. Oh, yeah.
So we can see your face.
I don't need that. There we go.
I want to see his face.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk, as Dave already introduced, about our relationship with this money. And we know that it takes money to fund ministry, to fund the God. You know, life would be easier if we didn't need money, I think. But it's part of the way God created things. He created us to give, to make, and to give. The Lord once showed me that the church is like an F-22. That's the new fighter jet. I used to say, when he showed this to me, it was the F-16. Now the newest jet is the F-22. So you could tell it was a while ago. And if you look up the F-22 fighter jet, it is an amazing jet. I mean, that baby can come and it could annihilate a city. It is so fast and so, in fact, it's the only jet that we make. We don't share with anyone else. We don't share the technology. It's amazing. But you know, an F-22 without the smart bombs and all, you know, the armor and the bombs that can blow up cities and the heat-seeking missiles and all of that, without all that stuff, it's just a fast jet. It's just really fast. Yeah. Well, so is the church. The church, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the funding, without everything it needs to be the church, is just really a nice-looking church. We're just really nice. But the church properly equipped, properly funded, properly maintain is dangerous. Yeah. That's why I am so crazy about church planning. I see how dangerous the church is. This church is dangerous to the enemy's camp. We are together, we are dangerous. Together, we can affect the world. Together, we can wipe out cities. I'm talking about for good. Wipe out the enemy, wipe out evil, wipe out and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the county fair, where's Rick back? Yeah, I mean, transformation as the body of Christ. Wow, we are equipped. But it takes funding. You know, Rick just came from Belize, and I was on vacation. He just came back, brought a whole team to Belize. They planted a church. I get so excited about that. Took money to get there, didn't it, Rick? Took funding. It takes money. It takes money to bring the gospel. So that's what I'm here to talk about. And why do we give? Why, you know, my first portion of what I give is here. I give it to the house. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. You know, do you have to give? You know, Living Waters, we preached in the New Testament, you're free. You're free from the law. We're free from the law of sin and death. We're free. You're free if you want to keep all your money, if you want to go to church, you're free. Yeah. There's no legal requirement in Scripture. And this may be new to some of you. If you grew up in a denomination where you had to give, you do not have to give. My heart today is to change some mindsets, to break some things, so you just like, it's like, you want to give. You just like, more, God, give me more so I can give more. And that's my heart, because you're really free. We're free from the law. Shuha humaka papa. Well, I just, whew, shaha. I just prophesied today there's some things that are going to happen in the spirit. I just really believe mindsets are going to be changed today. I believe we're going to pray at some point. Mindsets are going to be changed. Some old thinking is going to be taken away, and God's going to make a new rich soil in your soul to receive the promises and receive the things from Him. But some of you have not been able to receive because there's old mindsets, there's old things, there's law in you. You got legalism and law in you Me too. This is a constant. This is constant, okay? I mean, this is a constant thing I have to go after, okay? I have to constantly get, why am I giving? Because it gets to be such a nice habit. I have to give. I mean, I grew up that way, and I'm constantly wrestling with that. So when I speak this, I'll put a mirror out. I'm speaking to myself too. It's a constant. Because that religious thing is so strong, it can be so strong, it can so subtly come in and put us in bondage. And we don't get the freedom of giving, we don't get the freedom of worshiping God, we don't get the freedom of what God wants to, we don't get the blessing, we don't give by faith and receive what God has for us. And that's what I'm going to go into a little bit today. Wow, so you're free. So how much should you give? Well, I believe you should give 10%. Where do I get that from? Well, that's just a nice number, isn't it? I mean, that's what... let's go to scriptures. You know, everything I'm going to do is going to be based on the word of the Lord. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. Imagine that. Genesis 14, 18. The anointing is so strong up here, I can hardly even, my hands are shaking. It's such power. God really wants to do something today. I saw before, and this even tweaks my brain because it's beyond my faith. When God says something, it's always beyond what we could think, dream, or imagine. As I'm sitting there, I saw what the Lord wanted to do in this church. He wanted to really prosper people. He wants to start giving dreams. He wants to start giving inventions. He wants to start giving imagination, ingenuity, and entrepreneurship across this church. And it may not even be so much even you in your church, but your family. The Lord wants to release generational blessing here. Generational blessing. Do you realize, I'm going to tweak your brain as much as I possibly can today, okay? I'm going to just whack you as much as I can, in a good way. Do you realize in the Jewish synagogues, like in New York, a guy I knew, I was listening to him in Dallas, we were at a conference, and a few years back, and he studied the Jewish people. And he went to New York, and he went to the synagogues, and he went to where they went to rabbi school. Okay, they have rabbi schools for rabbis in New York. And as you know, the Jewish people are very well off. Now, we can look at the covenant of Abraham, you know, the covenant. They're a covenantal people. God has a blessing on them. But I understand that. But there's a little, just a little more to it than that. And I'm going to go into some. We've got our different thinking that causes us not to prosper. And they've got a lot of right thinking. Okay? They know the word of the Lord, and they know they're in covenant, but they do some really neat things. So anyway, this guy's in a rabbi school. This guy, no. And they're giving him a tour of the school, and you know what they learn? They learn the Hebrew, and they learn this, and all of a sudden he's in this one room, and the rabbis that are in school are all on computer, and they're on computers, and they're looking at the stock markets. He's like, well, you know, they're actually doing trades, they're practicing trading the stock market. What's this all about? You know, he's like, well, he's confused. Am I in the right room? Did I go through the right door? And the guy that's giving the tour said, you don't understand. We have such wealth coming into our synagogues from our people that our rabbis need to know how to manage money. They need to have an understanding of finances. In fact, even go another step, there's so much wealth that comes into the synagogues actually become financial arms to help people of their congregation go into business. And they have a whole mentoring. You know, that's one thing the Jewish people are really good at, is mentoring one another. If you go to the Diamond District, I've been to the Diamond District. Now I think about that, was really prophetic when I think about it. But I've been to the Diamond District in New York, and I've been to, it was an investment Carrie and I made, and I was there in the Diamond District, this building where all the diamonds get traded in the Diamond District in New York, in Manhattan. And it's all Jewish people, and are all mentoring one another, building one another. We had, I think, the office that this investment group had, I think we're the only non-Jewish people. Maybe there was one other, you know, in the whole building. It was like a five-story building, office after office, and it's where diamond trades go. They mentor one another. They build one another. And I see that it's going to happen here. I believe I've already had a young man come to me and ask to be mentored by me. Now, please, not ever come to me, but we're going to mentor one another, okay? But I believe there's going to be a hunger. There's going to be a hunger here. You know, one of the things that you have to understand, to be prosperous, you have to be lifelong learners.
Yeah.
Lifelong. If you think you're going to retire and, you know, and just... You know, God's just going to bring good stuff to you. He will. But really, part of prosperity, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but part of prosperity is being a lifelong learner. Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word. As you know, that's probably not the right scripture, but that's a good one. It's Genesis 14:18. Well, I'll just tell the story. Sometimes it's just easier to tell the story. Oh, it's verse 20. Sorry. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. Why did he do a tenth? Where did he learn that? And was it law? Think, this is before the law. Moses brought the law. This is before the law. Everything Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did was by faith. This is what I'm talking about today. We've got to go from legalistic giving to giving by faith. Believing everything in the supernatural comes by faith. That's what I want to deal with today. It's by faith. It's by faith. Hushaha mahaha. Every day I get up. We've got 30-some trucks loaded with fuel that are on the road in our company. Every day I have to think about the covenant that I have with God. Because when I get up, not every day, but most every day, I could be thinking about, you know, I got guys out 4 a.m. with tankers full of fuel. And, you know, we're in ministry. We're kicking butt, okay? I mean, we're doing what God's telling us to do. We're going to nations. We're doing church planting. We're sowing wherever we know how to sow. Ha shaha makapaha. Doing ministry. You know, we're doing the works, casting out demons, healing sick, you know. And the devil would just really like to have a shot at us. He'd really like to see a nice accident, wouldn't he? So every day I have to understand. Yes, I pray, but I have to understand the covenant that I'm in. The covenant relationship that I'm in. And I have to access that by faith. By faith, I know I'm protected. By faith, I know I'm under the blood. Whew. Hallelujah. So, Abraham, this is before the law, he did this by faith. The Bible says Abraham believed God has counted him as righteousness. He sowed by faith. He did 10% of it by faith. In Isaac, we won't even go to the scripture, Isaac 26:12, it says that Isaac sowed that year and received the harvest. If you look at the scripture, he actually sowed in famine. That's faith. The sow in famine. God said, sow your seed. God told Isaac, sow your seed. And the Bible says he sowed that year. And if you look earlier in the chapter, it was a famine that year. Famine. He's like, I'm sure he goes, well, what's that all about? He sowed in famine. And the Bible says, it produced for him a harvest. He received a harvest. By faith. By faith. So Jacob, we'll go to that one. Genesis 28:22. I really like this one. I'm going to probably read. Well, I could read the whole chapter. We won't spend that much time. It's the part where Jacob dreamed. He put his head down on a rock and went to sleep. And he had that dream. He was on his way, you know, to go get a woman. And he was on his way, left his father's land. And he had a dream. And that's where the heavens opened up. And he saw angels ascending and descending. And he has this traumatic, young man, a traumatic encounter with God. And then he wakes up and he says, this is what the house of Bethel means, God's house of God. Bethel, I think, means fresh bread, doesn't it, Dan? Fresh bread, yeah, fresh bread. There's bread in the house. So he names it, and he does this really interesting thing. No law. I don't know if his daddy taught him. I have no idea where he gets this from. He says this very interesting thing. He said, verse 22, Genesis 28, 22, "And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Where do you get that from? There's no law. He didn't have to do that. He did it by faith. He said, "God, if you be with me, I'm going to give you a tenth. He says, "If you'll prosper me," it sounds like he's cutting a deal, but really it's by faith. He's saying, "I'm putting this money forward, believing for the impossible. I'm believing for success." What I really like about Jacob, which was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, what I really like about this one is this. He said, "This is God's house. This is God's house. This is Bethel. This is God's house. And this is where I'm going to give the tenth." In God's house. He makes the commitment in God's house. Is that amazing? Wow. Wow. Whew. When we give by faith, it's like sowing into the glory. You're sowing into the kingdom of God. And I know people struggle with that. Folks, Ezekiel 28, I could go on. I've got hours. We don't have enough time. I mean, I could go really in depth in this. But Ezekiel 28, read Ezekiel 28. It talks about Satan. And it talks about trade. What trade is, I have a water. We just traded. That's trade. That's the whole essence of trade. If you're working for someone, you're trading your time and they give you this, okay? That's the whole essence of trade. I have fuel. You want some fuel? I'll give you fuel. You give me this. In Ezekiel 28, it talks about Satan. And I don't quite understand that, but it talks about he did trading. But he perverted his trading. Just read Ezekiel 28 when you get a chance. It's in there. That scripture is known to be talking about Satan. And it goes on how he is the beautiful light of God and this and that. He walked in the garden of God. He walked in the fiery stones. There he is. There it is. They put it up. But it goes on to say, but you're perverted by your trading, the iniquity in your trade. Three times it talks about trading. Now, I don't get that. I don't understand. But somehow Satan was involved in trading. So God is redeeming trading. He's redeemed the marketplace. Jesus Christ died on the cross and redeemed everything that was lost. We lost the ability to have an abundant, blessed life to the fullest. But Jesus won it all back. He won the ability to trade and be a blessing and not a curse. Yeah, Jesus says it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. True. It is true. I can testify the temptations with wealth. Oh, my goodness. But the greatest thing I have to give the Lord is my time. And wealth, you know, you could just spend it and have, you know, you could have just a really good life. Yeah, I mean, wealth could just, you know, leisure and fun and relaxation. You could have it all, especially in America, my goodness. But everywhere. So there's great, great temptation. There's temptation to turn your back on the Lord and live your own life. That's not me. I mean, the rod of God's in me. Fire is just a burning, and it's not going to be put out. I'm not going to let it. Shubaka. Oh, shoo. Ha. Do I fall? Yes. We all fall short of the glory of God. Just get up. It's even war. You guys can tell I've been praying a lot. I love these pants. I go home and say, honey, oh, this isn't the, it's the other ones. Okay, it's the other ones. I got some brand new that got the little threads on it. I thought I ripped them or something. I go, honey, I go home. It's my black jeans. I go home. I say, honey, I'm sorry. I ripped. I don't know how I did. I ripped them. She laughs. She goes, no, they come that way. They come that way? They come? Really? Okay. So anyway. Where was I? Oh, trade. I'll tell you why I give. I give the worship. It's something I've earned. It's something that's mine. Well, and let's face it, we tend to hold this close. Okay, we watch our money. It's our substance on this earth. The food, we need it to buy food. We need it to buy homes, cars, whatever. We need it. So it's something we hold close to ourselves. And it's something I can freely give away. Isn't that beautiful? I can freely give it. I can lay it at the altar. Other than my heart and my life, and I do not know of what else I could give that would just be such an act of worship. Work hard for it. Bust my butt. You know? And Carrie and I have been given 10%. We over 10% a lot of times, but we at least give 10% for a lot of years. That's the mark we pick. Now, if you're not giving nothing, you know, I hear studies tell us that like 30% of a church people don't give. I don't get that. That's not in my brain, okay? That people don't give. But let's say you don't give and you're convicted today. Like, oh, I got to start giving. Start with something. Start with 1%, 2%, 3%. You don't have to give 10. You're free. You're really free. I'm hoping to do more than 10% in the near future. Dealing with debt, get out of debt. You know, we've had years where we've given 50%. But when you have debt, it's really, you know, the Lord had to teach us wisdom. I've given a number of times we've done 50%. But if you have debt, that's not wise. So there's the wisdom. There's wisdom. That's why I stick with the 10%. Because, you know, you want to bless your employees. We've got some employees here at Port Royal. You want to give bonuses. You want to bless your... See, that all balance, that whole balance of giving, the whole balance of the blessed life, there's a balance to it. That's where we need wisdom. That's where we need mentorship. That's where we need one another, to have a balanced, blessed life. Not, and I'm going to go talk about that a little bit. I'm going to talk about the... you know, when we're driving down a road, we like to be on the road, right? And you got a ditch on your right side and you got a ditch on your left side. I don't know if you've ever, Carrie and I one time were pulling a boat. I'll never forget this. We're pulling a boat up north on the other side of Brainerd. And a guy all of a sudden comes, there's a caravan, I can remember it like yesterday, starts to come on our side, come right at us. And I got a big boat behind us. And I'm like, he's just starting to come over. I'm looking at the ditch going, as a steep, I'm like, oh my God, this is not going to be pretty. I don't remember if you started yelling the name of Jesus in the past. We've had where we've got close to accidents and Carrie yells the name of Jesus and the car straightens up. Well, she started yelling the name of Jesus, and the guy all of a sudden gets over. Oh, my gosh. He's coming right at it. I don't know if he was trying to find his self. I don't know what he was doing. He just looked at me when he went. It was weird, really weird. But, you know, if you've ever snowmobiled, being in a ditch, there can be rocks and boulders. You know, you're always, I don't like snowmobiling in a ditch. I don't like four-wheeling in a ditch because there's rocks, boulders, culverts. But so many times in our spirituality, we end up in the ditch. We're in a right ditch or the left. We're in one of the ditches. We go extreme this way or we go extreme that way. And boy, to stay in the center of that road, sometimes it just takes a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding, a lot of the Word of God to get rid of the traditions of men, the things that in our brain, the way we're raised, and just get, that's what I'm here today for. I'm hoping that if you're in a right ditch or the left ditch, we could just get you in the center. Keep you in the center of the road. The prosperous, blessed life. Bible says, in 2 Corinthians, I don't know if he's putting that up. There it is. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Because you maybe have grown up that, you know, Jesus doesn't want you to have money. That's one of the ditches, by the way. I'll get to it in a second. That he wants you poor. That's really holy to be poor. Well, one of the scriptures says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. He wants us rich. When someone told me that Abraham was the wealthiest man in all the land, he had more silver, gold, servants than anyone. And think about this, folks. And that's the guy that God chose to make a covenant with. The covenant that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He chose the wealthiest guy. Well, when someone, when I heard someone say that, I went and looked it up. Really? 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 I mean, God didn't hold that against them? I mean, I had to go through all this stuff. You got to understand, I was a business guy in a religious background, and I disdained prosperity. It was weird. I mean, I was really weird. I had so much legalism when I first started out 30-some years ago. It was like, you know how that is. Church on Sunday, and then during the week we do our thing, okay, and to bring the two together. God had to do some things in my brain. I remember when I first read this book on prosperity, I'm like, I'm going to rip this apart. I'm going to read this, but I'm going to rip it apart. These guys are, they're after money, whatever. And I'm reading it going, oh, looking at the scriptures going, oh, the Bible. The book was called God's Secret of Success by a wealthy Arthur DeMoss, a wealthy insurance guy who's with the Lord now. But I'm reading it going, oh, oh. And it was about, and he talked about giving your heart to the Lord, the number one thing, giving your time. Time is a valuable asset. Giving your time to the Lord, giving the first part of your day. You know, prosperity is not just money. So I want to make sure I'm clear about that today. I'm talking about money. There's five elements of prosperity. The new covenant, Holy Ghost-filled power. I mean, Lord won it all. There's a social aspect, having family and having healthy relationships. That's one area of prosperity. There's mentally, emotional. Now, you could be really spiritual and be your soul could just be messed up. Okay, so there's soulish, mental, emotional prosperity. Physical. I see so many people in pain. Carrie and I pray for people all the time, and there's so many people in pain. You can have all the money in the world, and if you're full of pain and disease, was that prosperity? No. There's physical. I'm missing one. Oh, spiritual. In church, I guess. our spiritual prosperity. Encounters with God. That is spiritual prosperity. On the way back from up, we were up north this past week. On the way back from up north yesterday, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to play an old song from the Lakeland Revival by Roy Fields. Holy, I can't sing it right now. But anyway, I started playing that song. It's about a 15-minute melody. Look on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Roy Fields. And I started playing that song. I hadn't heard it for a long time. And the car started filling up the glory of God. And I didn't know if I could drive anymore. That's spiritual prosperity. That's the blessing of the Lord. Shumakaha. Whew. And then there's financial. Okay, it's just one of them. And I'm talking a little bit more about the financial part today. So don't think, well, it's just about money. No, it's the full meal deal. I love McDonald's. I use their caption, the full meal deal. You know, Jesus, I think the Lord birthed that in McDonald's, so I could use it. The full meal deal. God gives us the full meal deal. Gives us all. He wants to have all of it. Jesus paid a great price so we could have it all. Okay. So let me talk a little bit about. So let's talk first the truth, the middle of the road. Then I'm going to talk the left ditch and the right ditch. Truth. God wants a prosperous children. He desires a prosperous. You know, I showed it in Corinthians. He became poor so he become rich. It's his nature to bless. It's God's very nature to bless us. Bless us with his presence, bless us financially, bless us in every area of our life. It's his nature. To be blessed is to take on the very nature of God. In truth, when we give, we give unto the Lord, we give as an act of worship. Like I said, we sow into the glory. We sow into his presence. We just, And every month, when Carrie and I, at the beginning of the month, we have a foundation, and we sit down and you know, we write the checks out, okay? And it could become very mechanical, really easy. Really, and I always take time just to take it, lay the checks out on the table, and just thank the Lord. Thank him for the little bit I can give, for the little that I have, you know, that I'm able to give that to him, that I've worked for it. I just spend time with the Lord on it because it becomes so, well, yeah, write the check out. Yeah, you know. No, I want to worship God with that. He gave it to me. Now I get to give it away. And I do it as an act of, and do I feel the presence of God when I do it? Sometimes. But a lot of times not. But I just do it as an act of faith. There again, faith. Remember I said that? Faith. Giving by faith. I'm giving, believing. And, there's lots of traps. Give to get. Give to get. Do I believe for things when I give? Yeah. Yeah. God will not be mocked. You'll reap what you sow. We could sow expecting a blessing. We can sow as part of the covenant. We can expect to be blessed. Sometimes when I'm desperate, I so believe in for a breakthrough. I call forth my seed. But 9 times out of 10, it's worship. It's worship. And I know he's not mocked. Give, it'll be given back. Given, it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together with the measure you give, it'll be measured back to you. We give, we sow. There again, when I believe in blessing, it's not just financial. It's all five. The full life of God. That's what he wants. He wants us to have the full life, the fullness. Hoo-hoo. So that's the truth. A truth would be that we should talk about money in the church. The truth is that there should be an abundance for every good work in the church. The truth is it takes money to run a ministry. It takes money to build orphanages. It takes money to get enslaved children free. It takes money. That's the truth. And it needs to be talked about in the church. It needs to be believed for. Okay, let's look at some ditches. We'll go to left ditch first. Money is evil, and all Christians should avoid it. That's a ditch. That's contrary to the Word of God. God wants his children to be poor. That's a ditch. He wants to bless us. Poverty shows humility. You know, you could look at many generations of vows of poverty. God bless them. If they want to do that, that's fine. I just believe they're missing the fullness. They're missing the fullness. If you want to go take a vow of poverty, God bless your darling heart. Okay. That's, you know, there is a kingdom to be. My very last breath, I want to see his kingdom come. With my very last breath on this earth, I want to be sowing into that kingdom. I want to see churches planted. I want to sow into his house. I want to sow into his glory. I want to sow with everything I have. I want to continue to earn and give and sow. Not only laying on the hands, not only with my physical, with what I, you know, we're vessels of glory. We walk in the glory of God. We hold this glory. We're glory, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're earthen vessels full of his glory. I get that. So it's here, it's going, but it's also the extension of sowing and giving and giving and sowing and sowing. I just get so thrilled about it. I get so thrilled to send teams to be part of it. I'm not saying that we're doing it, but, you know, if I give $10, I help send a team. Okay? If I give $5, I mean, don't get into numbers. Sometimes God has surprised me with, you know, if your ability is up here to give here, and sometimes I gave down here a lesser gift, but it was something he really, really wanted me to do. And I just felt the pleasure of God. I'll tell you one story. I had an aunt. She's with the Lord now, but I had an aunt who was a Catholic nun, and she did a lot of helping the poor, and a lot of people are down and out. And she'd come to, you know, knocking on my door all the time. Sister Larice, I don't know if you guys knew her at all. She was in Osseo. Her house was actually a ministry, kind of like the Mother Teresa of Osseo. She had people, multiple people, she say, from suicide. So she had this woman, and you know, there's such a curse on people. Poverty is such a stinking curse. Oh, and the curse of poverty, that curse of, you know, the devil's just got them, and he's just whacking them. And this gal, single mom, and I really have a heart for single moms. This single mom is just going through it. And Sister Reese is trying to help her out. So she gets sister gets her a job, and in it's the machine shop. She got trained and learned how to do this thing in the machine shop, but you had an unrighteous owner. She supposedly, the guy blamed her for some piece of equipment breaking. He says, "Well, if you want to keep your job here, it's going to cost $800. Otherwise, you're done. You pay for that piece of equipment that broke, or you're done." Oh, that infuriates me. Our people break stuff all the time. I should confess that. Anyway, I'm not confessing it, but it happens. It happens. And, you know, it's just part of it. It's just part of it. It's part of the human thing. So, sister came to me for the $800. I'm like, $800 to give someone? You know, I wrestled with a little bit. I thought, well, she's going to lose her job. Then you go, you know, your mind goes, well, maybe she'll lose the job anyway. Maybe she's not fit to work there. You know, I didn't really hear from the Lord, but kind of, it actually went against my brain. Because your brain's going, no, doesn't that sound like a waste? I could give that. And this is coming out of my tithing account, okay? I mean, this is out of the Lord's house. And I just felt, God, I think I'm supposed to. I gave Sister $800, and when Sister walked out the door, the presence of God came on me. I thought I was going to get transported to heaven. It actually shocked me. I'm like, wow. I felt the Father's pleasure just pour all over me. Wow. That's what I'm talking about, folks. And whether it's $100 or $50, whatever it is, you're giving from the heart, you're worshiping the Lord, you're honoring God, you're honoring His people, you're honoring His kingdom. Jesus says, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said that to His disciples. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I'm here to tell you, the kingdom is here and the kingdom is now and the kingdom of God is upon you.
Glory.
And I declare that this house will never be the same after today. Not because of me, but because of Him, because of His word. Because He will not let His word return void. I declare that mindsets are being broken in the name of Jesus today. And you're going to think new. Your mind is going to have a place to think new thoughts. We're going to pray in a little bit. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Okay. I was in a left ditch, wasn't I? Okay. Here's where I was. Being a Christian having is the left ditch again. And I believe I just said, yeah, poverty shows humility. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, poverty shows humility. It's a lie. It's a lie. Money has nothing to do with whether you're pride for humility. I met some of them. In fact, usually the most poor people with addictions, I see such an arrogance and pride, like no one can help me, I'm going to do it myself. People we've ministered to that are homeless, oh my God, they're just like, you want to slap them. They're arrogant. This has nothing to do with it, believe me. They're not, it's a heart. Everything's just a heart condition. Okay. We're still in the left ditch. Being a Christian, having no money is a sign of holiness. Did I say that? You know, a lie always has an element of truth. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. So a lie can have that element of truth. And we just did a little twist, a little subtle. It can be so subtle. Okay, left, let's go to the right side of the road, the other ditch. The right side is sowing and expecting a return, expecting something from God, and getting something from God, but it can never be taken away from you. Sowing and believing God that He's just going to shower prosperity upon you. And we see this on a lot of Christian television, that you're just going to have this wonderful life of blessed showers. And the bottom line is, there's an element of truth to that. Okay, you got that element of truth. For instance, My daughter-in-law, Rachel, believes God wants to prosper her. She's had dreams about this health bar, doing a protein-type bar. And she's trying to develop a really healthy protein bar. And the Lord's given her dreams. Now, that's the supernatural part. That's, you know, she's a tither. She's been giving. She's receiving the blessing of God. But it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Yeah. Being prosperous is hard work.
That's right.
Okay? It's hard. You can have it handed to you on a silver platter. She was wrestling with something, and she got another dream, and the Lord showed her to put this certain ingredient for sweetening into this protein bar. But still, she spent hours and hours and hours and hours and countless hours researching and weighed out. It may take her months and months, hopefully not years. It may take a long time. Prosperity is hard work. You could be, there's a guy that gets dreams. So he's got this supernatural ability. God, I don't know why, God just chose to give him a dream. And in the dreams, he'd get a medical device. God would show him how to make this medical device. Now, that sounds wonderful, and that's supernatural, but really, he's got to design that thing. He's got to try it out. He's got to develop it. He's got to bring it to market. There is a tremendous amount of work to bring to take it. Even though you got the idea, you got to download from God. Then the testing, to test it. I used to think I'm still on the right side of the ditch. If God supernaturally showed you an investment to invest in, that, I mean, nothing could go wrong, right? Right? Well, we do have a thief. The thief comes about to steal, destroy, and slaughter. And I've had investments. I had an investment voice over internet. The guy, Pat Fleming, and not Mike Fleming, but his brother. I probably shouldn't have said the name, but anyway, he had this investment. That's what he was doing, selling these, birthing these businesses, these technologies. And we both felt, as we prayed on the phone, God was in this. We feel the Holy Spirit, or is it flesh? When it gets the money, it gets really weird. It gets really strange, whether it's God or the soul. And, that harlot spirit in Revelation 18, that Bible talks about the harlot spirit. That thing's strong. I mean, that thing dominates the world, and we're called to cut through. We're called, in God's army with the righteousness of Christ to prosper in the land. We're in the land of Goshen. We're not in Egypt. The Israelites, during all the crap that was happening, were put in the land of Goshen. We're in the land of Goshen. We're in a blessed land. So anyway, that investment, it went down the tubes. I was shocked. God, I thought you're in this. Well, they did not practice best business practices. They did some things that violated some copyright laws. This Compartners was their name. Compartners did some things that violated some patent laws. AT&T sued them and bankrupted them. But they didn't do best business practices. See, you see what I'm saying? You've got the blessing of God, but you have good business practices. I could have an abundance coming from heaven in our company, but if I'm not practicing good business, best business practices of safety, of product delivery, in every area of our life, well, go bankrupt like that. Be out of business like that. Shoo. Hallelujah. Okay. Just about done here. Right ditch. If I give more, I'll get more. Now, there's an element of truth to that. Because God says, I'll not be mocked. There's an element of truth. But we give by faith. We don't give by, if I can give 15%, I'll be blessed more. 20%. No, you give by faith. If you want to honor God and give more, you give more. But you give by faith, receiving on just the smallest of seed, a harvest. Shoo, ha, praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Wow. So angelic just came in. Yay, God. Let's all stand up. I think I've said enough. I think, we just get a little peace here and there. Shabbat. Yeah. You want to share that? Yeah. Go ahead. Is this on, guys? I think so.
I just felt the Lord wanted me to share with you, he's talking about by faith. And so Lord's given me just a few things that I declare, not every day, but quite often, over myself and our family. And I just think there's power in us by faith receiving from the Lord. And the power of our words, the power of our mouths, and what we speak out, you know, over ourselves. You know, it's okay to pray for yourselves, okay? And so I just felt the Lord had me write down what he gave this to me, like just these little phrases would pop in me. And one of them is either I am or we are healthy, wealthy, and wise. So I declare that over our family, over myself, that I am healthy, I am wealthy, which he talked about. Wealth isn't just money. It's wealthy in all areas, and I'm wise. You need wisdom to, you know, use the wealth. You need wisdom in your life to stay healthy. And then I am blessed to be a blessing. Okay, God gives us blessing that we can be a blessing to others.
Right.
It's not just for ourselves.
Right.
We have to get rid of that mindset, you know, that, you know, I want the blessing, I need the money, you know. Yeah, we have needs, but he wants us to overflow so that we can overflow to others.
That's right.
So that we can bless others with finances, we can bless others with our time, we can bless others with our prayers, whatever it is. Because if you're not prosperous in all the areas, you can't overflow onto others, right? And then the Aaronic benediction or blessing in Numbers, the Lord supernaturally, we had an intercessor that gave us, Kenny was getting this prayer, and someone that wasn't even really connected to us from New Zealand, actually, where he spoke at a business conference, there was a lady intercessor. She says, I don't know, but the Lord just keeps giving me this scripture for you, and here you were getting it or something. And so I just felt, okay, Lord, that's something we're supposed to pray over ourselves. So you've heard this before, but it's a powerful prayer.
Why don't you pray it over all of them? Just speak it over them right now. Shaham.
So Lord, I just speak this. It's Numbers 6:26.
Shoo.
The Lord blesses you and keeps you. So he blesses you and he keeps you. So that's protection.
Yeah.
The Lord makes his face shine on you. Favor,
yeah.
Favor, favor.
Favor, favor.
And is gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his countenance on you and gives you peace. He's looking to you, and he's filling you, and he's giving you peace. And we just declare that peace from circumstances, peace in your body, peace in your soul, peace from your enemies, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, nothing more do you stay up here, darling? Nothing more precious than the favor of God. The favor of God. The Bible, I speak this over our company all the time, because Luke chapter 2, it says that Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Well, because of Jesus, what he did, I can have what he has now. I'm his kid. I'm God's kid, right? So I can grow in favor with God and man. Now, I don't have the theology right for growing in favor with God, but I know I can grow in favor with man. So I speak that over. So, Father, I speak that over this congregation right now. We grow in favor. Luke chapter 2. We grow in favor with God and man. We grow, Father, I release favor. I release favor. I release favor. 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 Favor for everything they do. I declare over this church, whatever they put their hands to, they will prosper.
Amen.
And Lord, in the heavens right now, I see the treasury in heaven open up. And Father, I call forth this day. I call forth ideas. Wow. Creativity. There it is. Boy, I could feel the warfare. Now, creativity. I release creativity, imagination. Father, let your kingdom come. I see, Lord, in the spirit, there's generational blessings here. Blessings from generations have been held up, through iniquity and sin of the generations. We cast that down in Jesus' name. And I declare every door that needs to be closed is closed. And Father, I ask you to open up generational blessings upon this church right now, upon the people here now. Shehia maha ha ha moho ho ho. And many of you, I'm telling you, you're going to start to see it happen in your children. They may not even belong to this congregation, but because you're standing here today, you may even see it happen in your children. Okay? I believe part of my generation, my blessing is going to be witnessing my children. So the Lord spoke to me about that. Ha. Shahoma hatehihi. Lord, I release dreams, a dream life, supernatural dream life, creativity, new ideas, new inventions. Worship. It's not just financial. There's going to be, I see songs being written, worship songs. It's the whole counsel of God. It's the whole thing. Healings. Lord, all five families. Someone over on the left side of church here, from my left, there is relationship with a child that's been very stressed, and God, they're coming back. I'm just saying, they're coming to the Lord. They're coming to the Lord. I see it. Ha. Thank you, Lord. So, thank you, Lord. You do more than we can think, dream, or imagine. More than we bargain for. Thank you, Father. Whoa. Anything else, Lord, you want to do? Oh, okay. Lord, I see angels being released. There's an angelic minister of finance, and he's releasing angels for financial prosperity. Who? And you know, for some, that may be not having a job, getting a job. That may be your prosperity. Everyone's at a different level. But prosperity is having your needs met. Being, you know, the Bible, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, being content, being blessed, knowing you're blessed. You know, having something in your hand for every good work, that's a blessed life. It's not about numbers, how high. Yeah, if God leads you to a bigger number, wonderful. But it's a blessed life. So there's angels being, I see them coming. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for the angelic. Lord, I thank you that people are even going to have, there's going to even be some supernatural encounters here. Lord, we thank you for the encounters. Because it's all encompassing. Wow. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow, that was good. That was good. There's even going to be some new ideas how to pass. Someone here, or maybe one or more of you, even have something you want to pass generationally. And God's going to even show you how to mentor. See, oh, that was another ditch. That was another ditch that prosperity is an anointing that can't be taught. No, prosperity can be taught. Yes, that's right. We could teach our children prosperity.
That's right.
We could teach the generations prosperity. We teach them how to prosper, how to live a prosperous life. Yeah. So, Lord, I release that teaching ability, how to mentor the generations in prosperity. The school of business, the school of mentoring entrepreneurs. Lord, we release that now.